Hello and welcome to Yamaha Music's podcast, Artist Insights. My name is Phoebe Ely, and I'm going to be taking you behind the scenes to give you an exclusive insight into the lives and journeys of some of Yamaha's leading artists. Joining me today is one of the most sought-after brass players in the world. The span of creativity that this artist has entirely blows my mind. World-renowned Portuguese tuba player Sergio Carolino is the master of musical exploring. His original creativity and eclectic stylist approach to jazz, funk and improvised music is what has earned him an international reputation as one of the most acclaimed brass players worldwide. Sergio, what a joy and privilege to have you here today. How are you?
I'm fine. With this introduction, I feel very, very weird right now.
Well, it's certainly an introduction because, yeah, you've had some amazing, amazing times in your career. And I was just mystified by how many different things you've done. And I've been trying to sit here and picking all of these different genres and different things that you've managed to pull together. And you really have done everything and you've crossed so many different musical paths. And I found it very, very fascinating. And I know you started playing music at the very early age of 11 and you went to study at Lisbon's Music Conservatory. Can you tell me more about what that time looked like for you? And what's your first memory of playing music and of actually seeing the tuba itself?
Yeah, indeed. It's a long time ago. I started kind of young. In Portugal, we have, like in England, have the tradition of the brass bands. Here, we have the wind bands. And it's a bit like in Spain, Portugal, some regions have many wind bands. Spain is Galicia and Valencia. In Portugal, it's mostly the north and around the middle center country, we have a lot of wind bands. It's also close to Lisbon. So we and a lot of amateurs bands. Of course, many of the professionals players from brass, woodwinds, and percussion start on windbands, and then they go study in conservatories and schools, universities. But we already play music since a long time in the band, so we know what is to be in stage, we know what is rehearsing, organization, discipline. So this is a very good starting point, like the brass bands in England, which when people they go to university, they already play thousands of concerts with the brass bands and do competitions, and well, it's nothing new. It's just to get some more knowledge about other stuff and meet other people. With me was a bit being a professional musician was not really, I think for everybody, it's not really for most of people at least. It was not my dream. In fact, this happens by coincidence, I think. Well, there is no coincidence, but for somehow, I, with me and some friends, we decided to go to try to learn music in the wind band. So that the time was only one teacher, he teach all the instruments. Now it's very different now. Now they have a music academy with many teachers, official school, but at that time wind bands in Portugal, they have one teacher who teach everybody. Yeah. So it was a bit like that. So I get to the school. With my passion was playing tennis, was doing caricature. That was my really like music. It's not really my first talent. In fact, I think I'm not so talented to play music. I'm more talented to do caricature and do other stuff.
Really? Oh, that blows my mind.
My main thing is still my main. I think I naturally I do caricature in an easy way, but to play music not so easy.
Oh, that's so amazing. And tennis as well.
Tennis, well, yeah, was my passion at that time. But then, of course, tennis is so difficult to get into this, to make a living playing tennis. I think it looks very beautiful to see the high stars. They're a bit like football. You see the stars, but in fact, there's thousands of people playing football and they don't make much money. And
I mean, people could say the same about music. So you've done incredibly, incredibly well. It's just amazing what you've done with your career.
I think everything happens, even looking back all my life, things are happening. I could not even dream in my best dreams to do assert that what I have achieved or done. It was things just come by one by other, one project comes to another, and meeting people, and then being prepared in the right moment with the right people, the right place, and then this brings opens doors. So it was a things happens in a natural way. I even don't know how it happens, but it's difficult to believe. In fact, if I start to think, for example, one of my records I record with Gene Pocconi from the Chicago Symphony, which I learned to listen to Gene playing. I was impossible to dream one day I would record or play with Gene many recitals together. So it's this kind of weird, or play with Ray Anderson, play with Marshall Gilkes, or play with Orrin Marshall, or with a good friend of mine, or I don't know, giving master class at the Royal Academy, Trinity, Royal College of Music, and the Cardiff Welsh Royal Northern College in England, making the two, giving recital master class. This, for a guy who plays tuba, it's something weird, you know.
It's amazing how things happen like that in life, and one experience can lead you to meet a person that then leads you to this completely new, like you said, different project. And that has happened so clearly with you. I can hear and see throughout your career how it's just continued, like you said. It's just incredible.
In the wind band, I know I'm kind of mostly autodidact. I got this to teach everybody, but most of it I was listening. In fact, I come from more a New Orleans style of playing, because I started playing Dixieland. Since the beginning, I wanted to play Dixieland in second line, funky. And I listened to Saint Pierre Afin, which was a famous tuba player from the United States, Kurt Joseph with the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. And I, with my friends, we started to do bands right away. When the wind band, our world was listening to the recordings, LPs and audio cassettes, which is very weird now, this is like primitive thing. But it was our inspiration, and that we tried to imitate and to start to write listening and start to write all these arrangements and try to understand what they were doing. And then after a while, we start to sail the band. We learn by ourselves how to promote the band. How we go to the bars close to the coast to try to, for the tourists in the summer, to have concerts every Friday or Saturday night playing Dixieland. And some of the guys, they were very open, because we were so young. Of course, for most of these guys, it was strange to have these young guys. They want to play Dixieland or New Orleans music. But we got lucky, because they liked the idea, and they gave us an opportunity to go to open the bar and have the band there, live music, which nowadays it's very difficult to find live music in bars in close to the coast, and for the tourists, you don't see much of that anymore. It's at that time, also Portugal was coming not long time before coming out from this dictatorship from Salazar, and it took a while to start to open. At that time, we don't get much information from outside. So now if you come to Portugal, this last 20 years is a big evolution in the country. It's not the same country. It's I remember all this process, and I even don't recognize the country. And then I sometimes start to compare the situation where I grew up and now with this new generation. They have no idea what was.
What it was before.
And even me, I don't know what was when my father or grandmother, they live in this dictator completely close from everybody else in the world. So it was, I remember to have a vinyl of the famous Philip Jones Brassens Hammer from England. To have a vinyl, it was very difficult to find this for sale. We need to order, and there is no internet. We need to find a shop, music shop in Lisbon, and then ask them if we go to a catalog and we order, and it takes 3 months or more to have the vinyl. And but this vinyl, maybe it was already 5 years old, because they have done already something new. But the information was very slow. Everything was slow, and it was our way of learning. It was by copies. And later I find the classical, not classical, but more modern music. I'm not really a classical guy, because I play tuba, so I don't have classical repertoire. But we call it classical in a way, but it's too generalized, too much, in fact. But I discovered, and then my colleagues, they were going to the conservatory in Lisbon, was the main school in Portugal at that time. But for me, it was even more lucky. There was no tuba professor there. I get some lesson with the trombone guy there and have some chamber music, but I wanted to be with my colleagues because everybody else has a professor there in the conservatory. Only the tuba player have no professor.
Didn't have one. It's crazy. And I'm just struck as well. You mentioned the vinyl and how difficult it was to kind of find that particular bit of music that you wanted in that moment. Were your parents really your strongest musical inspiration as a child? Was that where it all started?
Well, in fact, no, but because well, my grandfather played in the wind band many years ago, and he died 2 weeks before born, so I never met him. So I have no contact with him. So I grew up with my grandmother because my parents, as many of Portuguese people, they immigrate to other countries. So my parents, they work for 40 years in France. So I grew up with my grandmother. So even that, of course, I see my parents every year for 1 month. So I'm traveling in the Christmas to stay with them for 2 weeks. But occasionally, you know, with my life, my normal life was me and my grandmother or me and some my friends. So I needed to find my own way. But I'm happy because this, having no teacher at the conservatory and needed to find my own way because my grandmother, she could not read or she comes for that generation. They have no access to school because of this dictator. They want people to be ignorant, to control people. So for me, it gave me the opportunity to find myself, to discover my personality, my identity, and to find my own way of doing things. So nobody told me, you need to do like this, and you need to go like that way, you need to go this, blah, blah. No, I was totally free, and I was very wild. So I was very open-minded. So when I go to places, people, I was disturbing people because I see things in a many different ways, in a very wide way. I don't go in only one way. There is no only one way to see things. So I was already like that, and I have a lot of personality. So, and as I was always very curious, so even if I don't get this information, I always get information, even if it takes time. I find ways to see what's going on in the world, in other countries. So these people, they don't knew that. So I was a bit more advanced, and I knew what I want. And then, of course, for me, it was not easy because I was considered a wild guy, a wild boy.
You, Sergio, you wild.
Yeah, I'm still very wild, in a good way, because, well, we are learners for life, so we need to learn with everybody. We need to have this, well, I think the new generation has lost a bit this curiosity, this because they have access of information so easy, and sometimes the information you get, there is no... You don't know how to divide the good information to the not so good information. Everything is in the same box. So you go to YouTube or you go to other channels, you find everything there, but there is nothing to say, this is good, this is not so good. Everything is in the same. It's just 1 second. It's just in the other side. You click and the next one is not so good. But so there is nothing who says, this is the good way, this is not a good way. So it's kind of a mess if you don't have a good advisor. You can be in troubles, or you can be living in a wrong or in a totally mistake. You are just improving the mistake.
I can imagine. You don't know. You have nothing to go by. And it's just bringing me to really think about the fact that you're not also a very incredible player, but you're also now an incredible teacher, and you've held many masterclasses over the top music conservatoires worldwide. And I wondered, what do you love most about sharing your wisdom with the next generation of players, and what does it give you as an artist?
Well, I try, first of all, teaching. I started to teach with 21 or 22. I studied in Switzerland. I just find out a way to leave the country and go study with Roger Bull, who was an American famous tuba player, was in Europe. He was the tuba player with the Los Angeles Philharmonic for 25 years. And then I studied with the tuba player from the Swiss Roman Orchestra. And I studied in Geneva and Lausanne. And then I come back to Portugal and I start to work in the Metropolitan Orchestra in Lisbon. And Stitch, it was a superior orchestral academy. So then I start to teach I was teaching in the official universities for 23 years old. And then I quit in July 2019 because I was tired from this academic system, because I saw the academic system get more bureaucratic and bureaucracy, and the students they start to come to study not to have an education but to have a degree. So I said, man, this is not for me. I'm here to educate people. I'm not here to give any degree. I want them to grow up. We need better people in the society. People who think by their own brains, think who are creative and who have personality. And this young generation, they are in boxes. They do what they say. They don't think. So I was getting a bit disappointed about this. And it's like I was trying to fight with myself. And then I say to me, okay, that's enough. But of course, I keep doing master classes and teaching as guest. I was in teaching as a guest teacher at the Indiana University in the States, mm-hmm. a huge university. And of course, for me, teaching, I love to do master classes, and I like to share my vision to be mostly in life. I want them to be curious. I want them to not be afraid to try things. I want them to play for themselves and not try to please anyone except themselves. So I want them to understand that we play music for ourselves. It's very selfish, but it's the truth. If we play for ourselves, I play for me. The only person I need to please is myself. If the other people they like or not, that's not my problem. If they like, okay. If they don't like, it's also okay. I don't care, in fact. So it's like in our life, if you don't like yourself, you expect other people to like you. Well, this never going to happen, in fact. So and in music, it's the same, because it makes part of life. So I don't, to be a good musician without being a not good human being or don't have a good philosophy or concept to be in life doesn't function. Because when you meet many artists, mostly the famous artists, in fact, they have a very strong character, of course, but they also have they are special people, most of them. They are really nice people and they are very humble. And of course, mostly in other music areas, and as they have so much people around, they need to be a bit more, they cannot open much about their lives, because otherwise they're going to be eaten by the society. So they need to be careful exposing themselves. For myself, I just play tuba. I'm in the community of brass people. They know what I do. We know mostly everybody. And now with this social media, it's very easy to meet people and to listen what people are doing. But for other areas, it's people need to be careful, because it's a very carnivore society. It's a very wild, you know. You expose yourself with something, and man, people they just, and then they start to go into a personal life, which is even worse, you know. It's nothing to do with people, so it's. For me, it's lucky I just play tuba, so I don't have much problems on that. I live in my small world, and I don't, like, I have many, many people around me, but I don't have many friends, in fact. I'm a very lonely guy. I like to be alone, because this makes me, I have more time for myself to read, to explore, to know myself better. And then for me, it helps me in the creativity side.
I was going to say, does that help your artistry? And when you read something that's, you know, or you do something that's completely not to do with music, but something that really inspires you outside of music, does that fuel your creativity as an artist, as a musician?
For sure. I need this. And I need everything that I can have outside this. If it really changed my way of seeing things, or my philosophy of being in life, if I can learn with everything else around, different kinds of people, we have different ideas, and I try to understand. Being alone, the brain is like refreshing and sucking everything which is around. And then when I go to the instrument, my mind of what I want to say, it's much more clear. I feel that I know exactly what I want to play. So I don't think in terms of technically things when I play in the instrument. I know exactly my mind. It's difficult even to explain, but
it knows what it wants to say.
Yeah, I think my mind finds a way to send the message through the instrument in a much more clear way. It's very obvious when I'm playing. And after this pandemic, it's even better, because I stay alone, even more alone. I saw the society being divided by, because of many factors, but also many people just start to reveal themselves. And I find out so many people that very weird that I thought that I knew these people, but in a way, in fact, I don't knew these people, because during the pandemic, they changed, they reveal something very weird. So I get away from these people. I say, what is this? These people, it's not the same people that I knew. Somehow, this pandemic for me was a great social study. So I could understand a bit better who I can trust or not. So for me, it was a huge process of learning. I grew up so much during these last 2 years in terms of understanding myself and understanding what was around me. So now when I play, it's much better. I'm not a better player. But as I know, I grew up spiritually and mentally and intellectually, I think I grew up a lot. So I feel, even I don't study much tuba anymore. I don't play. I study, but not playing an instrument. So I think all these ideas I want to share, all of my thoughts, I think the mind is much more clear. So when I play, people, they get very impressed and they understand immediately what I'm saying. Even they get impressed technically what I'm doing. But for me, that's something natural. I even don't think about that. For them, they only think, how do you do this? And I say, well, I don't know. I just hear this in my mind and I just use the instrument to say through the instrument as I can speak better with sounds and rhythmical stuff than with words. So the words for me, more difficult. So I use my instrument to try to send the message, what I'm thinking, I think it's now things are more clear now, in fact.
And I'm wondering with that kind of isolation that you talked about that helped you in that way, how do you find performing as a soloist versus as part of an ensemble? Do you find there to be something different about the way you perform when you are on stage by yourself and what you're able to give?
It's very different, yes. But it should be different because it's another concept and there is some different rules, which I like to be free, but I also like to be, for example, I play in the orchestra, symphony orchestra, or my projects in ensemble. There is different styles of music. There is different functions. When I'm a tuba player in the orchestra, I have my function there. Well, I need to know exactly what I'm doing there. What is my function with the tuba in a symphony orchestra? What is my function when I play with my jazz fusion band TGB, which with tuba, guitar, and drums? But everybody is allowed. We have our moments, but it's a band with three soloists, which we play together, but we have also our freedom. But in the orchestra, there's not much freedom in the tuba voice. I can have my freedom, but sometimes. Otherwise, I need to understand styles. I need to understand the music we are playing. Who is the leader of this part? I have the conductor, the principal conductor, the guest conductor. He is the musical director. So if he asks me, can you play like this or like this? I don't say. I just try to, because he is the musical director. So if it sounds good, it's good for him. If it sounds bad, it's not good for him. He's the main guy. It's not the orchestra. They don't going to blame the orchestra. It's the conductor. he's the boss. So, but that's the way in my projects, most of them, mostly if I play solo concerto or with recital with piano, still there is a teamwork, of course, but I can have my personality. I can lead more. So people, if I record many of my projects, different projects, of course we work as a team, even a tuba and piano. It's a team. It's not just a tuba and the piano. No, it's a team. And the music I commission, I make very clear to the composer, I don't want piece just for tuba and the piano accompaniment. No, this is a duo. So both voices are equally important. Of course, the tuba, maybe as a melodical instrument on the top of the piano, can have more, it goes more into the audience than the piano. But you see, even very subjective, what I'm saying, I think, because it doesn't work like that, in fact. It's always a teamwork. But we have more freedom. We have more space to be ourselves in the orchestra or some other wind band or brass band. Well, it's a very specific situation. So we have moments, but it's just inside of a structure, a small microsystem that we need to, which is very good. I believe a lot when I was teaching in the Porto University, I always create brass ensembles and low brass ensembles with the students and organize, invite guest conductors, guest soloists, find the concerts, commission new pieces for these ensembles, because I wanted these young students to see the importance of playing in an ensemble and then to bring what they learn in the ensemble to live in the society. Because in an orchestra or a brass ensemble, you have the leader, you need to have discipline, you need to be humble, you need to listen to what's going on, you need to know what's your function, when your voice is important or less important, do you need to respect the leader of the section, you need to arrive on time, you need to behave good with your colleagues, you need to know how to live in a good ambience around your colleagues and respect them. So if you bring all these things that you learn in an ensemble to the normal life, it's exactly the same. So you're going to respect everybody. You know exactly what's your voice in the society and what to do. Deal with different characters of people. And so this everything is connected, in fact. You cannot... Some colleagues, they think they are musicians, they are very special. But in fact, it's not. It's not. If you are in the society, you can see through the pandemic, all the musicians, that was the first thing to stop was the arts, mostly the performing arts. Mm-hmm. There is no stage, there is no work, there is no nothing. So, and life keeps going. And you realize that you are not really important. They don't care. Why? We are important, but even people, they forget that they listen to music and they see movies and they see, but they go to the TV and they forget that this was made by these guys who are not working now. Yeah. So then you realize also how small we are. It's not important, in fact. It's who cares if I play good tuba? I'm just the guy who makes some noise in a piece of brass, and if I don't play, nobody cares. Because I'm the guy. Yeah, if I go walk in the street, who cares if I'm a tuba or not? They even don't know what is a tuba, most of these people. Yeah. And they don't care if I play tuba or not. For them, this is something strange, in fact. When I say, I'm a tuba player, what do you mean? or I'm a musician. What is your job? I play in an orchestra. Ah, so you make a living in an orchestra. You can make money. Well, yeah, you can pay the bills.
I completely understand. And I'm really intrigued, obviously, after the pandemic, everyone then got straight back into stage life and going back into gigs and doing all of the concerts again. And I'm wondering, what does it feel like for you when you're at the side of the stage and you're about to go on as a soloist? What's going through Sergio's mind at that point? How do you get into the zone that you need to be in to be able to give that message that you spoke about so beautifully earlier?
You think about something that's very important, being in the zone. That's something that I really go, and I work a lot with biorhythm. So I need to understand my body. I need to know that to make the best performance I can, the emotional, intellectual, and physical aspects should be in good balance. Even I don't talk about spiritually or the aesthetic side, because this is a bit more, it's important, but it's difficult. The spiritual side and the aesthetic side, it's both more philosophical, but it's very important. But as a high-level athlete, the physical aspect, the intellectual and emotional, it's very important. If one of these things is not in the balance, well, the performance is not going to be the best. And you know that. And the audience, they don't care, in fact. If you have problems or not, they go there, they pay the ticket, they want to hear you. So, and more you play, more you record, and you get prizes, and the recordings get better and better. Well, it makes you a lot of expectations they create on you and us on myself. I needed to learn how to not create any expectation on myself, Otherwise, this turns against you, because then you start to suffer of anxiety. You start to, you think too much. And you, when we start to get in this bubble, then you get panic attacks. And most, I know many people's after this pandemic, that is like players, like my colleague who plays in the London Philharmonic, Lee Zarmakis, is a tuba player there. And he called me when they restart to play, and said, "I cannot play. I cannot play. I'm nervous. I just can't play." So he was 3 months without playing, because he could not be in stage. He could not play. He was totally in panic. And I know many other artists. It's like it was the first time they go to the front of an audience. And he played there for more than 20 years. In the London Philharmonic, he traveled all over the world, recording all the time. And some other people, they just, the mind just closed themselves. Of course, your question was very, very, very interesting. Going to stage is always difficult, because it's a lot of responsibility, because people, they expect from you. And when you become more known by what you do, and people, they hear the recordings or the videos, and then they expect that you play exactly that like it is on the CD, you know, like on the CD you can repeat and improve, but on live, well, it's what it is. Of course, but I needed to learn to not create any expectations.
How did you do that?
It's very difficult. It's a very difficult process, in fact, because, of course, we don't do any expectation when you're going to do something. This is very weird, because we need to have at least minimum expectations. Otherwise, there is no point. So having expectations, but in a healthy way, is very difficult. So one of the things that I realized, it starts some years ago. I was very perfectionist. And perfectionism, it can be good until a certain point. But then when it goes over the top of the mountain, when you achieve the top, if you don't take care, you are going to the other side of the mountain. Then you go down and nobody catch you. And I realized that I was going to this, to the turning point of the mountain, because I was so perfectionist that this starts to disturb my life in the society. For example, I was very angry when a colleague of mine in the orchestra made a mistake. And then I keep this for myself. I said, "How is possible? This guy is making a mistake." And then I was, even in the society, I was going to drink a coffee in the morning. And the coffee, something, for some reason, I think this coffee was not tasting good. So I was thinking, this guy is not competent, even taking a coffee. So this, and then I realized that's not normal, because I was not like that. I was totally the opposite guy of the perfectionism. I was the guy who doesn't care about things. I just go, and I don't care, in fact. So it becomes from the guy who doesn't care to a guy who is perfectionist, who care about everything. And then that's become kind of a disease. I was totally living in this obsessed world. But by lucky, I realized that something was wrong. Then I immediately phoned with Gene Pocconi, a tuba player of the Chicago Symphony. I talked with Oren Marshall, amazing tuba player from London, plays with Long Brass, and was teacher at Trinity College, and he's teacher at Royal Academy Jazz. So, and then I talked also with Daniel Perantoni, the professor at Indiana University, and they all advised me, just forget this. You need to play music to achieve excellence, not perfectionism, because the excellence allows you and your colleagues and people who are around you to make mistakes, which is very, very human. Every day we make mistakes, and we need to apologize, which I think we lose a bit this word, I apologize. People are afraid to apologize, which is very clear. This is one of the most beautiful, important words that we have, is apologize, because we make mistakes. It is the only way to progress, is making mistakes. Without the mistake, there is no evolution. There is not the next step. So we need to make mistakes so that we can improve. And this was the moment that I started the big changes. Then After that, I became more philosophical in my life, reading a lot and trying to understand better what's going on. And I started to see the importance of the brain that we don't understand. in fact, it's mostly the conscious and the subconscious of the brain and try to explore the capacities that we have that we don't know really. So this was the starting point to change my way of being in life and suddenly, slowly, as I become a more lonely guy, but more introspective people, but this brings me a more clear vision that what I want, the way I wanted to live my life. Of course, all these things reflects in the way I was playing. Automatically, I start to play different. So this was not really in the playing, it was in life. Of course, if you start to change your life and make many changes or small changes, but small changes, they can have a huge impact on our life. Even a little thing that is maybe people, they don't know why you are so different, but just because of a little thing you change, it becomes a huge thing. So I used to say a phrase from Lawrence of Arabia in the movie. One phrase that he says in the movie, big things begins with small things.
That's a great phrase. And it's so true. It really is so true. And I'd now think to view it that as that 11-year-old with the tuber and where you are now and how much you've experienced. And it really is, couldn't be more true, what phrase you've just said. It's just amazing. I do have a question for you, Sergio. I'm wondering, you have had such a wide-ranging career. What do you feel has been the biggest personal obstacle you faced to get to the point that you're at today? Would it be any of the stuff that you just spoke about?
Well, it is a kind of a problem when you do so much things and you're always a non-stop guy and doing stuff and being creative, and then you need to deal with many, many people who have jealousy of you and many people who have envy and you cannot create any expectation on the people around you and what these guys that they think about. You just do it for yourself and just do it and keep doing it. It doesn't matter what people they might think. It's just, and be around, always choose people, even if they are not your friends or colleagues, you live together, but be sure that the people who are in the projects, they are in the same frequency as you. Otherwise, this doesn't function. They need to be really amazing guys and better than you, so you can learn, so you can be surrounded with good support there, so you always feel comfortable in this position, because you are the weakest guy in the band, so the other guys are much stronger and this is very important, because then you are learning with them, you are feeling more confident, and you, it's always any rehearsal you do, it's like a learning process. It's like so exciting to be there and just to listen what they are saying, what they are. So, and coming from different musical areas, that's, for me, that's the most important thing, because they talk about things that in the orchestras, they have no idea that these people, they listen or they talk or they live. So they come from different life experiences also, not only musical. So this is fantastic. And of course, this is it sounds like a bit selfish, because all these bands they just need to be focused on themselves. But it's the only way, because if you start to think about what people they think or the society or this, well, you get a lot of stress, because if you start to do a project and you are doing a recording or rehearsing a piece to present in a concert, and you think, what the people, they're going to think about this, that's the end. You cannot even think if the people they're going to like or not. That creates all this anxiety and depression, and because you are thinking about things that does just bring negative talks, and you cannot control these things. In fact, we can't control much around ourselves.
I agree. It's a really strange one, isn't it? But you really can't control a lot of what goes on in your life. So, I think my next question that I did have for you, which I wanted to add before the end, was if you could go back to one performance you've given over the span of your career, Sergio, what would that be and why?
It's difficult. It's some very special moments. And I would say that it was long time ago, when I was younger, the first time I play a solo piece with my band, my amateur band. And this was my first time. I was the main voice. So they gave me this opportunity, even if I was a kid. Autodidact, they think I was talented enough to play this. So they gave me a chance to present and to show my instrument as a soloist. And at the time, for me, it was like, I was not nervous at all, because when you are younger, you don't care. You just want to enjoy. And this spirit, I tried to have this spirit. But at that time, I just wanted to show the audience and my family and my colleagues that my instrument was very beautiful also. I could also play a solo. I could play a melody on the instrument. So this was, I was a moment to prove not only myself I could do it, but my instrument was the same than a saxophone or a clarinet. I could do also melodic, beautiful melodies. So this was an opportunity, and at the end of the concert, in fact, people, they really appreciate, oh, wow, so beautiful. Wow, what the sound is so nice, and you play this musical. So, and I realized that most of this, I was very young, but I remember what was the comments. People, they even don't talk about tuba. They talk about the musical, the sound, the phrasing, the melodies. So that was already a victory, because when, for me, if every time I play, if people, they come to me, wow, man, you are a great tuba player. This is not a good compliment. This is, in fact, very bad that you play tuba. That's, wow, that's not my point. That's not my dream. I wanted to be a musician, not a tuba player. Mm-hmm. So people, they come to you and they say, man, you play fantastic tuba. That's a very bad compliment. That means they don't, my message was not understanding. They were just seeing me playing a piece of metal and trying to show off some of the technical stuff with this thing. So that comment when I was younger, then I realized years later that my colleagues, and they were more impressed, and they don't talk about the instrument. So this was a good start.
Yeah, so amazing. And you've gone through such a journey in your career. It's amazing how many different things you've done and how far you've come from such a humble start, as you said. And I do have a final question for you now, Sergio, which has become a firm favorite with Artist Insights podcast. If you could give one piece of advice to an 18-year-old Sergio, what would that be and why?
Well, that's very easy to answer. Just don't be afraid to be yourself, never. And just be curious all the time, and just explore. Don't just play, discover, play, learn for yourself, not for the others. And don't care what the others, they might think about you. And don't be afraid to show you as an individual, how you are, your character, how you are, and that's it. If people, they don't accept, that's not your problem. You are like that. So you cannot be other person. We cannot. We are all different. So I got lucky to be like that. I was always myself. I'm very honest. I'm very, I'm myself always. Of course, I suffer a lot, because I'm being always very, very honest. And be always very, very honest and very, integrate. People has this integrity. This you can have troubles, because there's so many people living in this hypocrisy and this kind of fake world that they try to please others, that this is strange. So young Sergio with 18 years old, or even younger, I just let them do whatever they discover themselves by themselves, but just inspire them to not be afraid to be themselves, even if the society sometimes can be hard, but one day it will prevail. Of course, the identity, it will come up for sure, because there is no other way. Otherwise, we live in the shadow, and this, well, we are a bit frustrating because like we cannot express ourselves. So always and be curiosity until we die. We always try, experiment, try. I want to try that. Just is no other way. You see a new cake, you need to try to see if you like or not. You just go.
I think that's very poignant advice, Sergio. Thank you so much. You've been an amazing guest on Artist Insights, and it's such a joy to have you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And my honor to be here.
If you enjoyed today's episode and want to learn more about Yamaha and our artists, please do tell your friends about the show and subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. We'll see you next time for another episode of Artist Insights with Yamaha.